About relationships overall, and then we talked about when women know that they're ready and when they should be ready, what obstacles they have to overcome first. But what about in men's perspective? When are men ready to get involved in a relationship?
Okay, when we discuss about men and women, keep in mind that there is a difference between men and women. And the things that we will discuss today, I think we need to say a strong disclaimer in the very beginning, say that we are going to be talking about mature topics, which may... I don't want to say offend people, but then which is a definite reality, and that definitely does need to be addressed. But then I wouldn't recommend this for somebody who is too young, and perhaps if
parents guided it.
Right. If anybody who is questioning whether some things we are going to talk about is acceptable or not, we need to first monitor what we are going to talk about. But first of all, one thing that I'm going to be very strict and very straight and direct, masturbation. Okay, this is a real, real, real issue. Is masturbation okay or not from a biblical perspective? You may have heard many people talk about all over the internet, perhaps some even Christian psychologists and counselors will say masturbation is something very healthy and something that we should young men should be involved in before they are engaged in a marital relationship. But what is your opinion, and I'm talking to Stephen only, what is your take on masturbation? Is it biblical or is it not?
First of all, when you are, you know, masturbation itself is actually taking a woman's image and making that image look certain way or do certain thing that is attracting you to do the masturbation. So that is, I think, a form of adultery, because you're taking an image of a woman who is not yours, who will even not be your wife, and you're making that woman do the things that you want them to do, which...
In your mind.
In your mind. Mm-hmm. Everything is in your mind.
Right.
Because, you know, guys are very visual people.
And we have to address this because most guys struggle over this, right?
Yes, they do.
And this is hindering, like, the healthy or the biblical relationships or
physically,
the marriage.
I think it was 72 hours, if I'm not correct, that our hormones regenerate or something like that, where, you know, that sensual feeling of, you know, wanting to look, you know,
desire
of sex. I think that was like a lot faster than a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think ours was 72 hours and theirs was longer.
Yeah. Men have this hormone called testosterone that gives us the sex drive. It's in men, and God placed that in men, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a very natural thing, but it needs to be guided and directed. Now, some people will say that because we have this thing called testosterone and we have this sex drive that is so dominant, so strong, it's a very healthy response for men to release some of that stress by not upon another woman, but in the privacy of their own closet. Is that something that is healthy or not? Now, Stephen, you say that it is not a healthy reaction. It is not a healthy solution.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're is taking place in the mind, and then all these sensual thoughts are taking place in your mind. But you haven't actually committed the act. You haven't actually gone out Lord forbid, gone and raped somebody because mm-hmm. you wanted to release some of that stress.
Mm-hmm. You're still a virgin, right?
Me?
I'm saying no. Like, even if
when
a guy,
when you have that mind,
or if, no, not mind. If you do masturbate, then you're still a virgin, right?
That is a very thin line. I want to direct you to a scripture in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaking, he says this, verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Mm-hmm. And so it's not even the issue of going out and actually having the physical intimacy with a woman. Mm-hmm. It even begins before that, takes place in the mind. So as Stephen was saying, what actually constitutes virgin and non-virgin? Well, with a woman it's a lot easier because there's a physical difference. But then with men, hey, what's taking place in your mind? I think that is something that we need to address more and focus more upon that than the actual physical act. The reason why I say this is because when we're talking about masturbation, I suppose it is technically possible for women, and I don't want to exclude women from this, and I do include women. Many women do struggle with the issue of masturbation. But then when we're talking about masturbation, we automatically have to include the issue of pornography, mm-hmm. okay? Because when you're talking about pornography, you don't watch pornographic material or view pornographic material just for the sake of it, just for, oh wow, I was curious, I looked at it and interesting, and then just walk away. Mm-hmm. There's an end goal and that you are trying to achieve when you are watching pornographic materials, and that is to reach the climax of the sexual act. And this is something that women do struggle with, not as much as men, but then is primarily dominantly a men issue. A lot of people have, some people have wanted to know exactly what the number is, and so they went out and did a survey, and they tried to find what percentage of men have never watched pornography before in their life. And it was hard for them to find one person, even one person who has never seen anything that's considered to be smut, pornography. Mm-hmm. And this is very real, even among Christians, and especially even among married people, this becomes an issue.
What about within young people?
Yes, young people. I see, even taking in high schools or even in middle schools, I see a lot of people who already lost their virginities when they're only, let's say, 8th grade or 7th grade, mm-hmm. and you could say, you know, like, even a few years back, that never took place, but now it is. That is what's happening right now. And you see all over the world, kids actually doing sex or, you know, watching porn or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And it may not be like, doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and get a girl pregnant or anything. But then, hey, when you are taking the steps in watching porn, guess what? You're learning it. Mm-hmm. It becomes normal, desensitized in your own mind, and eventually you're going to want to go out and actually do it yourself. Mm-hmm. People think that you can actually suppress your feelings of wanting to express that, the physical stress of releasing that testosterone desire by, you know, watching pornography. But honest truth is, you're just feeding that flame. You're just making it grow a lot more. And then there's going to come a point in life when you're going to actually get married. It's not like you're going to flip this magical switch and all of a sudden all of that habit is just going to go away. Mm-hmm. Unless you deal with that now, it's going to actually affect you even in your marriage life. And it's true that even because of issues like this, many, many families have been destroyed.
Yeah, and you know, I even found a news article where, you know, it says that porn is ruining young men's lives, not only in marriage lives, but also in their relationship with their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
It, even people who aren't Christian aren't saying this is unhealthy, this mm-hmm. is not good practice.
And yet, the porn industry is such a is booming with lots of money right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
I gotta say, because because we take it so lightly, we think it's normal. It's normal for a high school kid, if you are, let's say,
they
in
think
junior
it's just
or
a stage.
Even in freshman, mm-hmm. like, you need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So
like,
they think it's just a stage.
Yeah, just
going
a stage.
Through.
Like, if you didn't do it, if you didn't do it before, it's like, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
and I've been in high school. I've been to public school. I remember exactly what it was like. Guys that are looking upon girls and treating them like prostitutes, and that's
uh-huh.
all. Everything that it's all about that. And that all begins right from here, what you do on your website. And for Christian young men who are who may not practice the same habits of looking at women and saying, you know, they're prostitutes or whatever, they may still struggle with the issue of when they are alone, when they are lonely at night, especially. The kind of websites that they go to on their computer. You know, these things are a real issue, and this is something that we really do have to deal with and something that we are going to have to overcome. Not, you know, some people say that, you know, once I get married, then I'll quit.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's not the case. Unless you overcome that now, you're going to continue on that habit until even after you get married, and it's going to destroy your home.
Mm-hmm. Time out. For people who are joining us just right now, I want to make another disclaimer saying, you know, what we're talking about when are men ready to get involved in a relationship. And
mm-hmm.
This is real stuff that really do happen to young men, but it is mature content. So if there are anyone who's young, I recommend that they don't watch this episode.
Mm-hmm. If it's...
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or you know, parents watching this together, because maybe, you know, too young could be, you know, just
yeah.
nothing,
yeah.
but, you know, like, for preteens, I think,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Definitely.
It is a serious
yeah.
issue,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
I don't know, parents might say, you know, you're still young, or if they're, like, 18 and say, you know, you're not old, like, 17 or 16, you're
yeah.
not old enough to watch this or something, but it is happening to those,
they need to know
those
yeah.
aged people, too,
mm-hmm.
and you know, parents should realize that, you know, their maybe their sons and daughters might be facing this kind
mm-hmm.
of problem too.
Yeah.
And I will freely admit, I learned about sex before I learned about it in school when the schools taught me.
Mm-hmm.
I learned it from my friends. And this is a reality, because parents may actually think that, my son would never be involved in things like this. You would be surprised. You would really be surprised. And if we are struggling with things like this, perhaps the best people that we could go to are people like our parents, not mother, but perhaps our father will definitely understand things and issues like this, and
yes.
they'll be able to sympathize
yes.
and be able to give good counsel.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, it's a very difficult habit to overcome unless you have accountability. I just want to show one more text. Job chapter 31. There's an excellent software that is out right now. I know this can be a very embarrassing issue, especially for Christian brothers. And they don't want to face the embarrassment of coming to another counselor and confessing this. So they do have a software that you can install onto your computer that holds you accountable. Essentially what it is other people can monitor what you are the websites that you're going to, and make sure that you know, you don't go on certain websites, and they do trigger red flags and things like that when you do go on certain websites, and they have it for Mac and PC, so don't worry about that. And from what I understand, there's even a panic button to where you're just so tempted, you can press the panic button, and somebody will call and they'll say, "Hey, brother, you know, how are
wow.
things going?" And you know, you call for help. Let's pray about it. How are things going? You know, it's an excellent software. You could install it into your computer, and it's based upon this this verse, Job chapter 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Okay, so this is talking about what we watch and what we see. The name of the software is called Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes, based strictly upon this text right here. And so there are things like this that will help you to overcome, but the reality of the issue is, if you want to overcome, first of all, you will have to admit that this is a problem. Just like an alcoholic, you have to admit that this is a problem. Second of all, you'll have to come to a point where you have to say, okay, I need some help. I need accountability. And this is an excellent way to, a way out of it, to overcome as well.
And I heard like many testimonies, like this, I think even among the family, this is not something we should hide or we should never talk about. I think parents should actually, you know, lead their child and guide their child into the right direction. And then, you know, father can talk with it about the son, and mom can talk about it, the daughter. And even like, if God had put this in the Bible, then He's willing to help you.
Absolutely.
If this is
yes,
the problem.
Absolutely.
So I even heard of many testimonies that men or women that struggle with this, they have overcome with the grace of God.
Yes.
So if you do have a problem, I think we should always go to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so we dealt with the issue of the real issue of pornography and masturbation. Mm-hmm. Two go hand in hand. And even though there may be some other Christian counselors who say that masturbation is something healthy, biblically looking at it, I mean, what really is going through your mind when you're masturbating?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same concept of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you actually watch pornography to God's glory? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't have pornography in front of you, if it's going inside your mind,
cut it.
You should get rid of it. That needs
to be taken care of before you take the step into any kind of romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, one thing that we need to know, especially as men, is what true love really is. And we think of this as, why are you saying this to men? You usually say this to women. Well, I guarantee you, this is something that you will have to address, because this is something that I realized after the fact that I got married. Remember, I keep emphasizing over and over, there's a difference between men and women. Take, for example, men. Physically, men are stronger than women, okay? It's a known fact, a man against a woman, if they ever got into a hand-to-hand combat, man will always win, most of the times. I say most of the times because there are some cases where it's not the case.
Yes.
But then, most of the times, men have more muscles than women. Women are more emotional, and perhaps that's the reason why men are, not because they're emotional, but because they're more muscular. They are more physically aggressive, whereas women are emotional and they try to avoid physical contact.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these things come into play, and God had ordained these things so that, hey, men, you can become the protector of the family. And for the woman, you can nourish your child once it is born and develop that bond that happens between a mother and child. But then let's think about when we think about true love, okay? Women think of love to be, fluffy clouds and lovey-dovey thing. But looking at from true Christian perspective, we know that's not the case. But it's sometimes, though we may know it intellectually, oftentimes the way we express it may not necessarily be the same way. And so one thing that I will freely admit that I am human. My wife is human. And a lot of times we do get into arguments, and when we get into arguments, sometimes we don't use the prettiest words. And the difference between my wife and I is that even while we are having a little bit of argument, I can still look at my wife and I can still hug her and I can say, I love you. Now that's not very easy for a woman to do, because she's emotional, and she wants to, she may say, I hate you, and I don't recall her saying that I hate you, but then, she can say, I hate you, I don't want anything to do with you, you're the worst thing that happened to me in my life. But then no matter what the woman may say, that's coming from her emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the man to decide and say, hey, you know what, no matter what the woman may say, I have made a decision to love this woman. That's what true love is. It's a decision that you have decided and said, no matter what happens, until death do us part, I'm going to continue to love this woman. It's just like, you know, your love for your mother or whatever. You love your mother even when, you know, she's nagging at you. Mothers have a way of pressing the exact right buttons so that they can make us mad, don't they?
Yeah.
Right? But even though they do that, we still love them.
Yes.
Right? It's the same principle. Even, no matter what the woman may pour out of their emotions, it's up to the man to be the one to be the leader of the home and say, it doesn't matter. You may say that you want a divorce. You may say that you want this. You may say that you hate me, but guess what? I have decided that I'm still going to continue to love you. That's what true love is. It's not some lovey-dovey, cute, cuddly feeling. It's a true and high and holy principle. And that's something that men are going to have to understand because, might we go to another Bible text? Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. A lot of men refer to this and think, yeah, that's right, that's my role. But then I just want to clarify one point. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And we think, yeah, wives. I mean, women, you're supposed to be subject unto me. But that's not the case. I actually have seen... look very highly upon the role of a woman, as if it's, especially the role of a mother, because it's the mother that shapes the character of the child.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's the mother that shapes the character of the man. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, when we're not talking about submitting, wives submitting to husbands, but then the next part, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. One question to men. Men, do you know and understand the relationship that Christ has with the church? If you don't, guess what? You're not ready for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you know exactly how Christ relates with the church, you're not ready to love the church or love the woman just like Christ loved the church.
Mm-hmm.
You must first know exactly how that agape love of giving himself for that church in order for you to first be able to love another woman.
So just like how we concluded with woman, like you need to be straight with God first
exactly.
in order to have a relationship, and it's the same for men.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, moving on. He says, verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So God had ordained husbands, men, to be leaders of the home. And men need to take this and take this responsibility and task seriously and say, no matter what may happen, I'm going to be the leader and say, no matter what kind of influence and circumstance may come, even if my wife turns back on me, I'm still going to remain faithful and I'm going to love my wife.
Mm.
How many times has the Church of God spit on the face of Christ? You know, how many times has Israel stomped over the body of Jesus, right? So many times. Has Jesus ever left his church?
No.
Not once, right? That's the same example that we have. No matter how much the wife is going to curse you out, whatever, it's up to you, your decision, to say, I'm going to still love this woman no matter what.
And hearing this, I feel like, as a woman, but if Christian men who go to church every week, if Christian men know this principle and understand what this text really means, then they are not going to make the mistakes, or they're not going to have false principles in their mind, and this whole society and the world would be different, I think.
Mm. Yes, because like he said, man made a choice to love that woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because it was his choice to make that choice, he's not gonna cheat on her, or he's not gonna
exactly.
look to another woman, because you made that choice yourself.
Exactly, because reality of it, reality is, you know, when you're talking about feelings, your feelings go up and down all the time.
Yes.
You may actually come to a point where, you know, heaven forbid, this may never happen to you by God's grace. But if you are following Christian principles, then it shouldn't happen to you. But it may actually happen to be the case where you actually begin to be attracted to another person when you are married. that may be normal because you have perhaps crossed too much boundary lines that you probably shouldn't have. But even if you feel that attraction towards that direction, it's up to the man to say, no matter, no, I'm not gonna obey this feelings. I'm still going to remain faithful to my wife. Mm. That takes place in the logic side. That's why God made man logical. That's mm-hmm. the reason why, I didn't mean to cut you off, but then just to close on this thought, that's why God made men the leaders of the home. Because if women were leaders of the home, a woman's feelings go up and down all the time, left and right. If they were to make a decision left and right all the time, then it'll always depend upon the way that they feel. But then God gave the responsibility of the man to be the leader of the home because it is the duty of the man to be logical and make decisions not based upon his feelings, but based upon principles.
Yes.
And I just wanted to emphasize again that, you know, love is not feeling. Even mm-hmm. though you feel an attraction for someone, that's just a feeling. But love actually is a principle, as we learned in 1 Corinthians 13. What true love really is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
And so, looking at that aspect of love, I know I'm feeling, I'm expressing a lot because this is something that is a burden upon my heart that I wish I could communicate to other men as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I think about this passage, why submit yourselves unto your husbands, and that's what the Bible tells is the task of the wife to do, but what about the task of the husband?
Yeah.
Let's see. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So what is the role of the husband? The only role in this passage anyways, the only role that the husband has to do is to love his wife.
That's his duty.
That is his duty. Mm. He doesn't tell the wife to love the husband because it comes naturally. I have seen so many times. Have you ever seen an instance where you see, you know, because men are visual, men like to look for pretty ladies all the time, and I think that's not the right approach, but then it's true. But have you ever seen men, have you ever seen an ugly man going out with a pretty woman, like drop-dead gorgeous woman? You've seen that before, right?
Yes.
And you wonder, how in the world did that man get that kind of woman?
Yeah.
Yeah. You wonder that. I've seen it time and time over and again. The woman may first say no, and then they say no a second time, and then another third time. But then the man just continues to love this woman, continues to pour out his love for this woman eventually after time. If she feels secure that this man can really love me like he says that he can, I feel safe and secure. I can give myself to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a matter of time where I've seen this happen where...
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah,
it is true.
If the man takes the duty to love a woman, mm-hmm. They will love them back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is true. As a woman's perspective, it mm-hmm. is true. And if you feel like, oh, I can trust this man, then, you know, you go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so the duty, you know, Christ never says to the woman, you know, love your husbands. Why? Mm. Because it comes naturally.
Mm.
But he tells to the man, this is your duty. This is what you have to do. Love your wife.
Mm.
And that's one specific thing that I want to emphasize. I think is a very key. There are many other keys, but then very big key in having a successful relationship.
Mm.
I know I'm speaking a lot in terms of marriage because I have experienced it in my own life. But some young people may be hearing this and they may say, I'm not even thinking about marriage. This doesn't apply to me. When am I going to use this? This is like math, right?
but it's a calculus.
Honest truth is the decisions that you make today makes the person that you become tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you need to lay down this foundation first today in order to prepare yourself not to have a divorce in the future.
What are you looking for in a woman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the big question that we did answer. Because men do look a lot into different girls. And then a lot of times men looks into different girls because either they are lonely or they just want to have that satisfaction from a woman.
Mm-hmm.
for, I guess, fun or for self-satisfaction. And that is the wrong idea we're looking at here. By, yes, we are talking about marriage, and that you might say that doesn't apply to me, but eventually that does apply to you overall, because if you're thinking about a woman, you should be actually thinking about this first.
Can I have a question for you men, and it's I've noticed that, you know, when a guy first courts with a woman or dates with a woman, they do everything for her, you know, always send her flowers, write her cards and everything. But then when they get married, it seems like the dead guy just doesn't express his love anymore. And then the women get like depressed, and then that usually is the reason why couples get divorced.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they don't have that mindset of what we're just talking about, because mm-hmm. what they start out with when they meet that woman is after they have won that woman over. I don't like saying that, but that's the terminology we use a lot of times. When the man has won over the woman, he has accomplished what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. Now I don't need to try anymore because she is mine.
Yeah, I can sympathize with other men. And if I were to be on the defensive side, men, it's all in the way that men and women communicate. It's not like men are not showing, or men do not love their wives. Mm-hmm. It's just that they show it in different ways. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, it's natural for a man to be involved in work. I've heard it said that men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti.
Hmm.
Now, what do I mean by that? Okay, you know what a waffle looks like, right? It's all mm-hmm. compartment. It has its own compartment. It's all in nice, organized square boxes. And men like to put all of their concentrated things into certain boxes. I have my work box. I have my play box. I have my TV box. Have you ever talked to a man when he's watching TV? It's like you can't even, he doesn't even hear you.
Or when he's working.
Yeah. So it's like, when a man is focused, he is very, very focused.
That's why they can't multitask.
Yes. Men.
No, I believe they can. They do different kind of works.
Steven?
Yes, they do.
It's true that women work better going back and forth in both sides of the brain. And women are bilateral in the way that the brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And so that creates a lot of problems, because women are like spaghettis. Have you ever talked to a woman, and woman is talking about, man may say, so honey, how's Jane doing? I think you met up with Jane, right? How's Jane doing? And she may say, oh, Jane was doing poorly, man. Jane eventually met up with Tom, and Tom eventually broke up with Jane, and Tom, by the way, Tom is now this tall, and Tom went to the hardware store, and she goes on, and everything is connected together. Have you ever tried to trace the line of a spaghetti before on your plate? Right? I mean, all the spaghetti is mingled together. Everything's connected somehow. And so when a man is trying to communicate with a woman, sometimes man is like, are we still talking about Jane? Right? Men know exactly what I'm talking about. When,
because men are slower to follow.
No, we are more concentrated in what we do. When we do things, we really do things.
Because we like to make it, you know, just that.
Yes, and nothing. We don't like to hear and involve anything else. We have our work. We have our play. Don't mingle the two. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that affect the relationship between a man and woman? Let's say, for example, communication. A man may be so intimately involved in his work, okay? And the reason why he is so intimately involved in his work is because he has a responsibility and duty to provide for the family, which,
yes,
by the way, I think is another prerequisite that men should accomplish before they get involved into a romantic relationship.
Yes, yes.
They need to be stable and steady in their life calling.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely need to because how are you going to provide for your new family if you if you don't if you can't apply for it? Okay, so that is number one prerequisite. But then a man is working hard. Why? Because he needs, he has a responsibility to provide for the family. He need, he has a responsibility to provide for the wife and for the children. Well, the wife comes home late from work because he's focused. Remember how men operate. He's focused on work. And he comes home late from work, and wife wants to spend time with husband, but then husband is not there. And then wife can actually take that to mean he doesn't love me as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This takes place. This is very, very common.
Okay.
But then it's not that he doesn't love her. It's just that he's expressing it in a language that she doesn't understand.
I mean, I have to say that, so it would be like when a woman or a guy is fighting, it's woman's like, you don't love me anymore. You know, they're the beautiful flowers that you gave me, all the presents and all the things you don't even give, and you don't even have time for me now to even just look at my face. And when you're when you're always at home, you said you're tired, you're always going to work, that's all you do. You don't love me. And the man goes right back and say, like, I work so you can have bread. I work so you can have this and this. And this doesn't prove you that I love you? And the woman's like, that's not what I want, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I often hear that so many times.
That's exactly it. It's a miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, women do have to understand that aspect about men.
Mm-hmm.
But men will also have to understand the language of the woman and understand that, hey, women need to continue to have affirmations by words, by gifts, by dating. One common mistake that people have after they marry is that they stop courting, continue on the courtship. And so man will have to continue on showing love for the wife. Before a man gets married, he is very chivalrous. What I mean by that is he opens the door for a lady.
Yes.
You know, does all these
things. Try to win her over.
Uh-huh. But then as soon as they are married,
it's like, quang. No
it's
door
like
open.
You see that guy in shorts and, you know, dirty t-shirt in front of a TV couch eating like popcorn.
There's something,
or something
on the teeth.
Well, men will have to know and keep reminding themselves that women are queen, and you have to treat them like queen.
Yes,
they are precious, precious people, and because they are weaker people, they are the weaker vessel. It's up to the duty of the man to supply the lack. Like, let's say, for example, the wife is carrying this big, heavy bag of rice.
Mm-hmm.
It may be, I don't know, 20, 30 pounds. To her, it may feel like your equivalent of 50, 60, 70 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But then for you, you know, it's 20 pounds. It's very easy. And so it's very natural. It should be very natural for the man to actually take the heavier things and relieve that burden from the woman, because she's the weaker vessel. So take care of your wife and take care of the woman that you are. And that all begins not once you get married. That begins even now, even with your mother. Because keep in mind, way that you treat your mother will most likely be the way that you will treat your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so practice those things, even now. I keep emphasizing over and over, we have to enjoy our single life. We have to recognize that there is a gift of singleness, and we won't be happy expecting to be happy if we are unhappy now being single. And so be prepared for that. Take the necessary steps to be prepared for that. You know, help out your mother. Be kind to your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Send flowers, send gifts, send cards. And do these things to your mother. Do you have a sister? Perhaps your sister may be a good person as well, because the way that you treat the most important ladies in your life is probably most likely the way that you're going to treat your wife as well.
So you're saying before young men or men think about relationships, first, they need to be straight with God,
mm-hmm.
and spiritually, they have to be godly men. And second, they need to know the differences between men and women so they can communicate well.
Yes.
And third, they need to know the roles of men. as into the relationships, how, you know, Christ-like church, and they should be the head and then the leaders. And four, they have to be economically and stable. Mm-hmm. That is just true fact. And the mm-hmm. lastly, they have to know that women are queens.
If you don't mind, to help gain those characteristics, mm-hmm. I think another thing is because men are visual people, we have to control our eyes to respect women. And I think that's just going to carry on through your life to Absolutely. The marriage and then have a better life in marriage.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. As we discussed earlier, if you are having a hard time controlling your eyes before you're married, whatever problem that you have before marriage, multiply it 10 times when you are married. It's not going to go away. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be there.
And it's going to be a problem in married life. Like, you're walking down with your wife, and then wife sees you looking at another man, and then the wife is going to get mad, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so looking at the preparations that men need to make, one other thing that I might add, don't flirt. Yeah. Okay. This is a real issue, because... Yes. In a Christian perspective, we may think that, you know, going beyond the borders of physical intimacy is like a great sin. Well, would you feel comfortable if women, let me ask the ladies, if somebody gained your emotional intimacy and eventually dumped you afterwards, how do you feel?
It'd be worse than if they, like, yeah.
You know, what hurts more? Is it physical abuse or emotional abuse?
Emotional
abuse, right? Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind, man. Whenever you are taking a woman's emotions involved, you're actually doing worse than physical damage, mm-hmm. and you're destroying that woman.
Yes.
So that's another boundary that we need to keep into consideration. But all of this comes perfectly naturally. It will come perfectly naturally if we just focus our intention and our focus upon Christ, okay? Mm-hmm. We emphasized over and over in Ephesians chapter 5 that the same relationship that a man and woman has is the same or almost the same relationship that Christ has with the church. Mm-hmm. But that can only come if we know the relationship that Christ has with the church. Mm-hmm. That all begins from here. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There are four important decisions that people have to make in life. Number one is your decision for Christ. Number two is your life calling. Because if you don't have your life calling, how are you going to support your family? If you two are unequally yoked and if you didn't meet each other in life calling, then you're going to have a hard time working together in the future. Number three is marriage. Yeah, life partner. This is what we're talking about. And number four is your decision to procreate and to bring another life into the world. Mm-hmm. But before you can get to stage number three, you absolutely must settle down stage one and two. Mm-hmm. And all that begins right here. Mm-hmm. It depends upon your relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. If you are solid, good Christian, things like flirting, things like pornography, these will not be a non-issue. They come almost automatically. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so as we keep our eyes focused upon Christ, how is it that we are going to know that we are ready for a intimate male-female relationship? Number one, keep your eyes focus upon Christ and always learn what would Jesus do.
Amen.